You're finding your seat, if you will open in your Bibles first to Acts chapter 16, and then put one of your fingers in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We have several passages this morning as we take a little journey with the Apostle Paul through some different circumstances in his life. So starting in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 30. Paul says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I am talking like a madman. I am a better one, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless floggings and often near death. 5 times I've received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I received a stoning. 3 I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, and toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. And besides other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, the middle of verse 7. "Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.' So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Would you pray with me? O Spirit of Jesus, the very one who spoke to Paul in his places of victory and places of defeat, we invite you to speak to us this day in the very places that you long to speak. We have come to this place because more than anything, we want to be with you. We've come to this place because we are a people who want to hear from our God so that we can know you, so that we can better love you and serve you. And so here we are, Lord, your servants, and we are listening. Would you speak to us through your word? This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God speaks, and God speaks to us, his sheep, his people. Over the past few weeks, we have affirmed each and every week that God speaks in different ways. We've affirmed that God speaks through his creation, through nature, that he speaks through silence and solitude, that he speaks through his word, through scripture, that he speaks through others. And we identified the characteristics of the kind of others that he tends to speak to. Have you been carving out any space in the past month or so to try a little bit harder at this work of listening, of making room for God to speak? I hope so. I hope it's not just a good Sunday morning tutorial, because that's kind of lame. I hope we're putting it into practice, trying our best to hear from our God. And this morning, we're going to affirm yet another way that God speaks to us, and that is through our circumstances. I want you to stick with me for just a little bit on this topic of circumstances, because saying that God speaks to us in that way, it can be a little bit tricky. Because if you look at your life, it turns out that there is so much in life determined by circumstances. The very fact that we are doing what we're doing right now is determined somewhat by our circumstances. Things as insignificant as the outfit that I pulled out of my closet this morning has to do with circumstances. The weather, the laundry, what I wore last week, circumstances. What we're going to eat for lunch has something to do with circumstances. What did you have for dinner last night? Did you have breakfast? How late did you have breakfast? What's in the pantry? And so whenever I propose that we have a God who speaks to us through our lives' circumstances, hear me first and foremost that I'm not proposing that God so micromanages our lives that he has something to say about every single little decision that we are going to make. That's just exhausting. And to be honest, I just don't think that God really has a strong opinion about tuna fish or PB&J for lunch. I just don't really think he cares. Nor do I think that he cares if my shirt is red or black or gray. He has bigger things to worry about than that. But God does speak in our circumstances, and yet he doesn't have something to say about every little detail of my life. And why not? Because he has created us to know him and to enjoy him forever. And there is so much wiggle room in how we go about knowing him and loving him and enjoying him in any given day. And so long as we're doing that, most days I think God is pretty happy. Know him, love him, enjoy him. But there are some circumstances that God really, truly does tend to speak through on a very consistent basis. Specific things that happen in our lives that if you take a step back and look at it, more times than not, God is right in the middle of it and he's got something to say about it. So this morning we're going to follow the life of the Apostle Paul for just a little while, and we're going to see the places in Paul's life that God showed up in his circumstances and had something unique to say, and we're going to see if there's a parallel. If there's some way that what happened in Paul's life and how God spoke in those circumstances might somehow impact and inform our own lives. To start with, in Paul's life, we see right off the bat that he served a God who spoke to him through open and through closed doors. That passage from Acts 16, we find Paul and Silas and Timothy, and they're giving their very best efforts to go and to share the gospel in all of Asia. Now, this seems to be a noble effort, a good cause, something that would be perfectly in line with God's will, you would think. But Paul says that for one reason or another, they were forbidden to share there, that the doors were closed, and he doesn't really say why. He doesn't say if it was because the authorities said no, or there was just really bad weather conditions, or there was a lack of hospitality. All of these things could have played into it, but it didn't really matter. Because ultimately what Paul says is we were forbidden to go there, and it was because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said no. These three, they tried their darndest to get into Bithynia, and he says the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let it happen. And they were going to tell people about Jesus. Doesn't make a lot of sense. And so then, a bit discouraged, you would assume, they head to this place called Troas. And there, Paul has this vision. And in the vision, he sees this Macedonian man who is begging and pleading these three to come to them and tell them about Jesus. And so they get in their boat and they head directly to Macedonia. And as soon as they get there, they immediately meet this lady named Lydia, whose heart was ripe and ready to receive the truth. In that moment, Lydia becomes the very first convert on the European continent. See, it wasn't Paul's original plan, but I guess this would do as well when it all turns out. We serve a God who speaks both through open doors and through the closed doors of our lives. I think of some of the open doors in my own life and how God used them and continues to use them to speak His will to me. From the opportunity to join Him on the mission field after college, to open doors that allowed me to attend seminary for next to nothing, to open ministry positions with the homeless for a season, with college students for a season, with youth for a season. All of these things, they seem to be kind of disjointed experiences when they stood on their own. And then one day, God opened this great big door that would bring me to Belfair. And if you've never heard the story from me or from our search committee about what all went into that, into God opening our hearts to one another, then pull us aside and ask us to walk you through it. Because it's an amazing story of doors just kind of creaking open over a period of time. God is all over the story. He was opening doors. And it took me about, three, 4 weeks when I got here to quickly take a step back and realize that all of the open doors of my past up until this point came together right here in this place, that is Belfair, Washington. Turns out not a one of those things, of those ministries, of those opportunities was a coincidence. But they were all building me up, forming me, and shaping me for life and ministry that would be necessary in this very place. Sometimes when I stop to just dwell on this and let the whole story sink in, my heart and my head, they just start to spin. It turns out that ever since I was this little bitty girl, it seems that God has been cracking doors open to bring us together. Speaking in all of this, that He's got purposes for me and for us. And it's all for His kingdom. Open doors. It's truly amazing. There's the other side of things too. I also think of the doors in my life that God has closed. And the first things that come to mind in my life are not so much professional doors, but they're doors that would have led to relationships. See, I'm 32, almost 33 years old. And a big surprise to all of you, I am single. Yes. And this isn't just the path that I've chosen in life, believe it or not. In fact, in just kind of a vulnerable, transparent moment between us here, let you know that even pastors are a little bit normal sometimes. Sometimes. And I have had my fair share of crushes over the past 20 years. Believe it or not, there have been guys in every single stage of life that I was certain being with them was God's perfect will. I knew it. And the fact that I'm still single indicates that even as much as I tried to help God see what He was struggling to see on His own, I have run into my fair share of closed doors. And with each one, I've been invited to regroup, to take a step back and listen closely to my loving Father once again. And what I've heard every single time that I've given Him space to speak, and when I've been willing to listen, is God's tender voice again and again saying something like, "Jamie, don't you know I desire you even more than you possibly could desire them? Jamie, I have chosen you for you to have a life with me that will be full and will be good. My child, you are never alone. You never have been, and you never will be. I'm in this. I've got you. Rest and hope in my perfect love." God speaks through closed doors. Open doors. What have they been for you? It's a real question. Think about it. Perhaps an invitation to serve in a ministry that you weren't so sure of, but you took a step of faith and you fell in love. Perhaps a person whose life intersected yours in a way that only God could orchestrate, and you've never been the same since. Perhaps the job you're in now came by way of open doors. Perhaps it was the chance to travel, to serve on mission. Maybe it was the chance to have the resources to help someone in need. The opportunity to be a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent. Relationships, opportunities, experiences, service. Which doors have been open to you? And how would you say God has been right in the middle of it? And what might God have been saying? What might God be saying through it? They're not coincidences, my friends. Closed doors. What comes to mind? When was rejection very real for you? A promotion or an application denied? A relationship broken? A dream never realized? Might God have been in that too? How so? What might he have to say about it? Which doors, open or closed, are you looking at today? What are they? Recognize them and listen. Because I have a hunch that God is speaking about those even now. Our God speaks in our circumstances. And he speaks through open and closed doors. So rather than just run through it without thought or stomp away from one angry, we do well to slow down for a while and listen. More times than not, our God has got something to say. He speaks through open and closed doors. In Paul's life, God also spoke through the blessings and the trials that met him along the way. See, Paul was a man who knew blessing and trial just as well as any will ever know either of them. The blessings in Paul's life. Some of you think, well, gosh, he had a hard life. Were there any of those? How about how clearly he saw God's protection all along the way? There was that time he escaped pursuers in Damascus by being lifted over the city walls in a basket. There was the time he was in prison and his chains were loosened on the spot. There was the time that he learned about a plot to be stoned and was able to flee and escape before the attack happened. Paul saw God's protection left and right. And on top of that, Paul lived in God's blessing as one who was called by God, who was given meaningful work in God's kingdom to do every single day. No matter what, Paul knew that his life mattered. What a gift. The blessings are more. Paul was blessed with a great education. He was raised in a devout Jewish home to parents who led him in the ways of God. His location in Tarsus helped him be someone who grew up understanding Greek philosophy. And his Roman citizenship gave him access to the entire world. Not a coincidence. Blessings of family, education, experiences, resources. God was in all of these. They didn't just happen. And he used each and every one to equip Paul for the work he was created to do. God was speaking in the blessings. And just as surely, God was speaking in the trials. And was Paul's life ever hit by trials? We get the brief list of them in 2 Corinthians 11. He said he was given 39 lashes 5 times. 39 because they believed that 40 would kill you. 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. Stoning, shipwreck, dangers from every direction. He said danger about 50 times in there. Sleepless nights, hunger and thirst. He had been cold, he had been naked. Paul knew trials. And to top it all off, he speaks of this thorn in his flesh, something within him that he had begged God to take away from him over and over again. It wasn't just something that happened to him once. It was something he carried in his very body that he couldn't be free from. And over he says, God, take it away. And he said on the third time into this pain, God spoke up and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul heard God, even in his trial that would not go away. Blessings and trials. Neither, my friends, are purely coincidence. And neither are wasted on God. Now, I'm not saying he always causes them, but I am saying he can always use them, and he always has something to speak about in regards to them. Once again, in my own life, the blessings are many. The blessing of friendship with those who share life with me. The blessing of health that has allowed me to be active and to experience God's beauty in many diverse places. The blessing of family that's led me in the ways of Christ since I was really, really little. The blessings of this church, a place to love and to be loved. The blessing of a calling, of financial stability, of education, the list goes on. And with each of these blessings, there's this whisper when I listen from the living God that says, Jamie, I love you, and I care for you, and I enjoy caring for you, and I've got important work for you. I am faithful, and I am kind to you. I am a good father. These are gifts from God. And through them, when I listen up every single time, God speaks his purpose and his love to me. And my friends, in my own life, there are trials just the same. Sometimes loneliness creeps in, and I fear that I will always be alone. Sometimes I think ministry is so consuming that there isn't even time for a family of my own, even if someone did fall in love with me, that it couldn't even happen. And sometimes I feel like that's quite a big sacrifice for God to ask me to make. Sometimes I question if what I'm giving my life to is really working. When friends I went to school with are making six-digit salaries, same education I got, and articles come out every month saying the culture is winning out over the church more and more every year. Is it worth it? Sometimes I find myself asking God why he didn't call me to something a bit trendier. The church that's so old-fashioned. Something a bit easier, at least. My family, they've been through trials. Broken marriages, rebellious siblings, destructive relationships, arrest, unwanted pregnancies and abortions, addictions, affairs, it's all there. All kinds of shame and hurt. And as I stand here and look over my life, the trials and all, I realize that these are the very things that keep me clinging to God. These are the very things that keep me listening for his voice, because I desperately need to hear from him, especially in those places. It's in my trials that God addresses my fears and asks, where is my faith? It's in my trials that God addresses my pride and asks me to humbly obey. It's in my trials that God points out my impatience and my need to control and my need to have say over my own life. And he asks me to trust and to follow. God addresses my judgment and my temptation to simply give up on people. And it's in these trials that he asks me to take a risk on love. In the struggles, I am called back over and over again to my God who struggled. And I am then able to point hurting people to this very same God. Because in my hurt, I have leaned on him and heard from him even in those places just the same. Blessings and trials. What is it for you? Again, a real question. Think about it. Where has God been abundantly good in your life? Where? And what is he saying to you through that? I can guarantee you, you didn't deserve it or earn it. He's just good sometimes. Where has he been good? And what does he have to say about it? In the same token, where in your life do you wish God would have done more? Where was the hurt real and the pain unanswered? And might God have something to say in these very places as well? Might he be in those very places even here and even now? Listen, my friends. Listen. What's he saying? We have a God who speaks in our circumstances, and he speaks through blessings, and he speaks through trials. Wherever we find either, we do well to stop and to listen. Finally, then, in Paul's life, we meet a God who speaks through his kingdom passion, through Paul's kingdom passion. As Paul walked this earth, he could have easily given his time and attention to any number of things. With his education, his background, he had the world wide open to him. But when he met Jesus, all of a sudden, there was this certain passion that began to stir in his heart, and he couldn't get away from it. And it was this very thing that kept him focused and determined to the very end. 2 Corinthians 11, in those last couple of verses, 28 and 29, Paul says, and besides all these other trials, he says, I am under daily pressure because of my great anxiety for all the churches. Who of them is weak and I am not weak? Who of them is made to stumble and I am not indignant? He says, when they hurt, I hurt. I'm so invested in these churches that whenever they're stumbling, I cannot help but stumble. You see, Paul absolutely loved the church, and Paul absolutely loved the lost. So much so that he lost sleep over both. So much so that he was willing to suffer if they simply might come to salvation and maturity in Christ through him. He loved them so much so that his entire life was absolutely transformed just so they might have a way to see the gospel lived out through him among them. This thing that stirred in his heart that he couldn't get out of his mind, it caused him great joy and it caused him deep sorrow, and it was a passion that was given to him by God alone. And in that passion, God spoke to Paul his whole life long. In my own life, this kingdom passion for me has become the church. Seeing and helping the children of God fully live into their identity as children of God. It's what I lose sleep over. I look back and see how even as a little child, I loved the church. I was a really dorky 7-year-old. I was. And I'd sit on the very front pew at my grandpa's church. And as he was preaching, I would have out my little paper and pad, that's the same thing, my paper and pen. And I'd be taking sermon notes at 7 years old. As a teenager, I still loved the church. It's a miracle. It seemed like Wednesdays and Sundays simply couldn't come quickly enough. Singing together, hearing from God's word together, joining in God's mission together, my 16, 17-year-old self just couldn't get enough of it. During my time overseas, I missed my church. In seminary, in every class I was in, I was that student that especially drove the theology professors crazy. Because no matter what we were talking about, I'd be the one who would raise my hand and interrupt and say, okay, this is good and well, but what does that have to do with Sunday mornings? How does that even have anything to do with the church? I don't care about talking up there in the clouds. What does it matter for the church? It's just somewhere deep inside me, and I can't shake it. This love for the church. My friends, believe me when I say I lose sleep over this stuff, like every single week. I lose sleep over us, thinking about where we are and where deep in my heart I know God longs for us to be. I lose sleep thinking about the ways that we settle for less than the full life God has for us in Him and as ambassadors for Him in this world. I lose sleep thinking about how to free up space for the Holy Spirit to move among us freely and to breathe life into us again and again. I find that I live to see the people of God living together and in their communities as the people of God. There's nothing I look forward to more in a week, not even Baylor football, than this hour, and that's a big deal, than this hour, when we will come together from 100+ different walks of life, and we will sing songs to the same Jesus. We will pour out words, the same words of praise, to the same God. And we will delve into the same word, seeking to know Him and love Him together as one. I love the church. And I can say it in a way that's not the least bit boastful, because I am quite aware that I did not put that in my heart. 7-year-old me had no idea what was happening when I was taking sermon notes on the front pew. But my friends, it's there, and it's real. And in this passion, this kingdom passion, God speaks to me more than in any other way in my life. And so my question, what is it for you? It's probably not the same it is for me, and that's good, because we've got a really big world and a whole lot of needs. As you look back over your life, even up to now, what people and causes and things have stirred a passion, a kingdom passion, deep inside of you? A passion that you didn't create on your own, but a passion that mirrors the very heart of our God. It could be something to do with caring for senior adults. Something to do with seeing children raise up in Jesus, with reaching out to at-risk youth. Something to do with the poor, the homeless, those that are entangled in the throes of addiction, victims of abuse, the pursuit of peace in this world, welcoming in refugees, mission to the ends of the earth, teaching, evangelism, worship, reconciling broken relationships. What is it for you? What is it? What continually causes you and your life to lose sleep at night, and not in the anxious, insomniac, I ate a burrito for dinner sort of way, but in the I'm just too in love with this thing to stop thinking about it sort of way? That sort of way. What kingdom work absolutely gets your heart pounding? I promise you, God is speaking to you in this passion. It's not a coincidence. That is His heart beating in yours. Let us name our passions and listen up, because God has something to say about them. And my friends, if I ask this question, and if really there's nothing there, then maybe for a while, simply commit to doing whatever it takes to fall in love with your God once again, or perhaps for the first time. Let that be your passion, falling radically in love with Jesus Christ. You don't know how to do that? Let's talk. I've got plenty of time, because there's lots of ways. And this is absolutely necessary, that we fall in love with God. And so our passions become one with His. God speaks through our kingdom passions. What is He saying to you and yours? God speaks. He speaks in our circumstances. If that be so in our lives today, may we take time to slow down and recognize the doors that are open wide and also the doors that are closed tight. Might we pay attention to the blessings, and might we even choose to sit in the trials for just a while longer. Might we lean into the kingdom passion that God has put into us. And might we refuse to move on too quickly, assuming this is all just life as usual, because, my friends, it is not. This is where the holy meets the ordinary. This is where our God meets with us. So let's stop and listen for a bit. Can you hear Him? I'm certain He's right here. And He's got something to say. Let us slow down and listen. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank You that You are not distant from our lives, but You're right in the middle of them. Thank You that You love us enough to give us freedom to choose how to best love You each day and all kinds of things, but also that You love us enough to speak clearly about who we are and what You've created us to be and do in other areas. We thank You for the doors in our lives that have opened up pathways for loving relationships and meaningful work and life-changing experiences. We give You all the credit for those. And we thank You for the doors that have closed. Some of those are still painful to us. But this morning we affirm our trust in You and in Your love for us, Your heart that is for us. And so we thank You even for the doors that have been closed. We thank You for the blessings. God, so often I walk through my life each day and just assume that I deserve these good things from You. Forgive me, God. Thank You for Your kindness. And God, thank You for the trials. Thank You that everything doesn't always go my way. And so that I have the opportunity again and again to choose You, even when it hurts, because then I know I'm really choosing You. Thank You, God. And God, thank You for the passions that are shared in this room. As unique and diverse as they are, they're all for Your kingdom and for Your glory. Thank You. Bring them to life more and more until Your kingdom comes to earth as it is in heaven. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.